Hey, this is Greg Hickman with Mobile Mixed, and you're listening to Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Crush, dude!
Do you know this new app called Periscope? It's been up for a couple of months now, and it's from the same creators as Twitter. And it's another way of sharing your knowledge, sharing great information with your audience, and show exactly who you are. Those are small broadcasts. Well, I say small, but they could be long also. It's your choice. So you're broadcasting live to all over the world, and you share with your followers. You could share anything, things that are personal, things that are business related, knowledge that you have you want to share with your audience. It's a great platform, and more and more entrepreneurs are using it every day because it's doing a great thing for your brand, but also for your business credibility, authority. And it gives you a great connection with your audience because you can interact with them live while you do your scope. So I invite you to follow me on Periscope at Fabienne Raphael. That's at FabienneRaphael. So every day of the week from Monday to Friday, I scope about the most common questions I get from the listeners, from my coaching clients, from people that are my subscribers. So I answer them and I share information of great value that can help you in your business, in your online business. So I'm looking forward to connect with you on Periscope and talk to you soon, okay? Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast, episode 158.
This is the place where successful entrepreneurs share their hustle to get where they are today. Discover how not taking no for an answer led them to achieve their goals. Learn about who inspired them and how they use marketing to crush it in their business. Get financial, spiritual, emotional, and physical tips that are working for them right now. This is the Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Here's Fabienne Raphael.
Hey, All-Star team, welcome to another episode of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Today, our guest is Ashley Stahl. Ashley is a career and business coach. She's also a keynote speaker, empowering people in their 20s and 30s around the world to discover their authentic careers and land more job offers. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to be here.
Well, you have a very interesting journey. You wanted to become a spy and fight terrorism. And how did that come up for you? And why did you change your mind along the way?
Actually, I was living in France in 2008 when this solidified for me. I was studying at the University of Nantes. And I'll never forget living in that town, which was such a beautiful experience, yet coming across this man who was hitting his wife across the face. I'd never seen anything like it before. I was just walking around on a rainy Sunday morning, and he was really beating his wife up in front of anyone who really walked by, which just seemed at the time to be me. And she had a baby in her arms, and it really got me thinking about the trickle effect of what that baby was seeing and how the baby would show up in the world. So that for me was a defining moment of really thinking about honing in my government studies onto national security. And before, I'd had a real keen interest in government, and it always was something that I was fascinated by. But in the moment of seeing that kind of injustice, it really solidified an interest for me to protect people. And I thought that national security was the best niche to go towards.
So after that, what happened? Like, I know you experienced a bit of it and didn't feel quite at your place.
Yeah. Well, everything that I had done from that moment in 2008 all the way through 2011 was in pursuing a career to be a operative in the Central Intelligence Agency. So I went to a top 20 school in the world. I found out that my graduate program was really known for getting great government jobs. So I went to King's College in London, where I studied in the Department of War. And it was a really incredible experience to get a master's from there. I started taking Arabic classes, making sure my French was polished. But what I found out during the time was that a lot of people in grad school were really passionate about foreign affairs, whereas I was just sincerely interested. Mm-hmm. And I think that that kind of distinction was really powerful for me. And it's really powerful for me as a coach when I'm coaching my clients and helping them figure out what they want to do with their lives, mm-hmm. is the power of really understanding what you're passionate about and what you're interested in. And for me, that became very stark in grad school. And I was a bit in denial because I had put so much money and time into this degree and into this education, into this path. So when I came home to Los Angeles after grad school, it was only a matter of time until I decided to really use it, try it out, see what happens, which is something I recommend anyone do, mm-hmm. is just, you know, really be fearless and just trying to, you know, experience things and putting yourself out there and course correct if it doesn't work out. So for me, I put myself out there. I knew that clarity for me would come from engagement.
Yeah.
I moved to DC and I ended up accepting a position to run a program for the Pentagon. And it was an incredible experience at 23 years old. But it, again, that distinction between what was passionate for me and what was interesting for me became very clear.
Yeah.
And it became very clear that that wasn't the career path for me.
Hmm. Some people, like, they jump into business or they start their business and, of course, they learn on their own and they buy programs and they get their own education and then they feel that they have all the tools to help people and they become successful entrepreneurs at it. Mm-hmm. Other people feel that, yes, they have to go get that degree. They have to go experience university or, you know, being in college for a while and then get some information or courses, classes on marketing, on business. And then they feel they have the power or they have all the tools to start their business. Since you've experienced like being in school and now being in business has a little bit to do with what you experienced, you know, in this field you wanted to be an expert at. But do you feel that it's essential that someone goes through that, through college or university, and, you know, have that experience of studying something, or they could just go in business without having to go that way?
That's a very fun question. And, you know, it's really a personality type. There's so many successful people out there who didn't go to college. And it's not just the generation such as Gen X or baby boomers. I mean, even friends that I have that are millennials, mm-hmm. they decided not to go to college and to start a company and they're thriving and wildly successful. That being said, it's a real personality type. And you really do need to be someone, I believe, if you're not willing to go the college route, that is a true, true self-starter that will create mm-hmm. and live in the place of opportunity within themselves. I find that, you know, if you're not that kind of person, 100%, then going to college is quite necessary. I think right now a bachelor's degree seems to be a prerequisite for being in the workforce at all. Mm-hmm. And I typically don't even coach people in my job hunting programs who haven't completed their degree unless they're an entrepreneur. You know, so if I'm business coaching someone who doesn't have a degree, that's fine by me. Mm-hmm. But if they're going into the workforce, I know the kind of resistance they're going to face. And so I opt out of coaching them as a whole because of the importance I see in it.
Mm. Okay. So you said also that when you explained your story that you realized that you were not as passionate in that field that you were trying to get into as the other ones, right? But you experienced it to find out that, yes, you were not at your place. So for you, it was that you realized it by experiencing it. But with the people that you actually that you coach, what do you find that it's the number one reason why people ignore that they are not in a good position for them?
Or just why people choose? I mean, could you rephrase the question just a bit?
Yeah, just like, why do people choose to stay mm-hmm. even though sometimes they feel that it's not for them?
Oh, amazing question. You know, fear. And I think it's the human condition where there's two pieces of the puzzle that are always in play when it comes to making a change. And mm-hmm. the first one is the fear of the unknown. And a lot of people will do anything not to experience that. And the second is the misery that someone feels in their current situation. And, you know, the quote that most people live their lives in a state of quiet desperation, it's so true. And I think that this dynamic of fear of the unknown and misery in your current situation comes to play in this. Most people aren't going to make a change unless they are so miserable that they don't even care what the unknown looks like. Hmm. Whereas a lot of, you know, where somebody like me, the moment that I'm lukewarm and something doesn't feel exciting for me, it doesn't feel like it's serving me in my career, I'm willing to go into the unknown. And I think a lot of successful people are willing to do that. Mm-hmm. They're not interested in being comfortable because they know that the things they want to become, the person they want to grow into, doesn't exist in the person they already are, the comfort zone that they have.
Yes.
So I think a lot of people honestly just spend their lives quietly desperate and afraid to really experience what life is like when they don't know what their day is going to look like tomorrow. Mm.
And do you find that there's a difference between, let's say, men, the way they approach it, and women?
You know, I don't see a lot of it in my practice because I primarily am coaching women. Mm-hmm. But what I can say is there is a certain biology to it. I do see that, especially when I do speaking engagements, I'll go all around the world, and no matter what culture or country I'm in, I do notice that men are a bit more assertive, and it's just biology, and it's understandable. Mm-hmm. And with that does come a certain sense of opportunity. Mm-hmm. I just read a statistic about women in negotiation, and it's just unbelievable to see how many men are kind of fearless when it comes to standing up for themselves, yeah, negotiating, creating opportunities, versus women who are a bit more fearful, and they cost themselves, some statistics say, as much as $1 million throughout the course of their career due to their fear of negotiation. Mm-hmm.
At a certain point during when I was reading about you, you really found ironic that you were helping others find their purpose when yours was so unclear. Mm-hmm. And I think that it relates also to a lot of women listening. So mm-hmm. why would you say women tend to be like that? Like, you know, like maybe taking a long time to find that clarity.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people already have clarity, and it's not so much an issue of clarity as much as it's an issue of believing in yourself. Mm-hmm. So I would say a lot of my clients are in their 20s and 30s. They come to me saying, I want to find my purpose. I want to work with you. I'm not working in a place that seems like me, and I don't know where to go next. Mm-hmm. And when they come to me, what's so magical about it is it doesn't take me long to figure out what they really want to do with their lives. And the truth of the matter is that it was always there, whether it was as quiet as a whisper to them or it was as clear as them having tried something out and avoided it. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of women form stories about industries, form stories in their head about what things would or wouldn't be like.
Yeah.
And as a result, they're so afraid to go live it. And I totally, I resonate with that. I understand that. I empathize because mm-hmm. I've been there. I really do. And I get how hard it is, but I'm really inspired by the women who come into my practice and they say, look, I'm ready to show up for myself. I'm ready to show up for my life. I'm ready to show up for my kids. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to be the kind of woman who loves what she does and sets that kind of example in the world, and my friends and my family, and then with strangers. I want to be that kind of person.
Yes. And since we're talking about that, don't you find that this is something that we are not told enough in our education or at school or everywhere we go?
Yeah. Well, and you know, I also find it really fascinating that we grew up during this idea of follow your passion, because I mean, I'm passionate about cupcakes. I'm passionate about shopping. I mean, you know, and this idea of following your passion, it always kind of concerns and jars me. In fact, the Harvard Business Review did a article, and it was called Gen Y's Passion Problem. Mm-hmm. And they created a little N graph from Google, and it shows the increase in the words follow your passion in English culture, in literature. It does a trace of how much those words appear in literature. And from mid-1980s to now, you see it take a huge increase upwards. Okay. So it actually shows that idea became entrenched in our culture. Mm-hmm. It became entrenched in literature and social conversations as a result. And I think that Gen Y is just experiencing a kind of a hangover, realizing that that doesn't work. A lot of people are passionate about things that aren't their calling in the world necessarily.
Yes, exactly. Or your passion could be where there's no market for it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Exactly. And you can always create some sort of market for something, but at the end of the day, yeah, it's really clear that a lot of people get afraid of doing that. So exactly.
Yeah. You also truly believe in the power of networking. So I'm curious to know, Ashley, what do you think is the key from your point of view to a successful networking experience for an entrepreneur?
I think really going into it without expecting any sort of favor. Mm-hmm. I think going in and expecting someone. I think when your expectations in general put you into a victim mentality because you're putting everything on the other person and there's no agreement or communication in place mm-hmm. to really merit that kind of expectation.
Yeah.
To me, I think agreements are more powerful than expectations. And if employers took that to heart and instead of expecting employees to perform on certain deadlines, agreeing with them on certain deadlines would make such a difference. So mm-hmm. I think really when it comes down to it, this idea of expectations when networking is really detrimental. Going in with the intention of just forming a positive relationship, being of service. There's so many books like The Go-Giver and all sorts of amazing literature on just how much statistically people who are givers get back. And so I really go in without expectations. I'm always there to serve, whether that means that I refer someone, even in my company as a career coach. I mean, mm-hmm. I get about 15 to 20 inquiries a week for coaching. And I have to say that I would probably admit I decline working with 80% of the people who call me because if I can think of a better referral, I'll send it to them. Mm-hmm. That to me is positive networking, being of service in the world.
And I love you say that because some people say have the mentality of, you know, like we have competitors and it's very hard to you should not like just give a client to the person next door and stuff like that. But as you say, I mean, you have your expertise, you know who you want to work with. So if someone else is a better fit for the client, well, of course, the client will still consider you as the expert in what you're doing. And whenever they need you, they'll come back at you because you were of service to them.
Right, exactly. And, you know, at the end of the day, that's the point and that's the karma that I want to live my life under. And mm-hmm. this idea of competition, I think, is so silly. I mean, you know, I coach a lot of coaches mm-hmm. in my practice. And it's like, why would I be coaching career coaches to millennials if I was so afraid of competition? But I just have an abundant mindset. I think that opportunity is everywhere. Clients are everywhere. There can't possibly be enough coaches for the amount of 20 and 30 somethings out there yeah. who want to start a coaching practice, find their purpose, or get job offers. The three things that I do. And it's just beautiful for me to be able to support other women in living out that calling and really trusting on a divine level that the kinds of clients that are meant to work with me will show up mm-hmm. and the people that are meant to work with them will show up for mm-hmm. them.
Yeah, exactly. And I read a book about that. I don't remember the title, but it was written by Dan Kennedy and Kevin Hill. And they were saying something about like exactly that, people being afraid of being stolen, like their client would be stolen by their competitors, for example. And they say to consider like the, let's say the sea, for example. And if you take a bucket and you take some water out of the sea with your bucket, and then you take a spoon and you take the water out of the sea with your spoon. So what's going to happen to the sea? The sea yeah. will still exist. I mean, because the sea doesn't care if you take a bucket or a spoon, or you could take even like something bigger, but there's abundance and there's people for everybody, and you don't attract the same type of people than the person next to you. So basically there's a market for everyone.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, the kind of people that are going to hire you, you know, the people who read my Forbes column and feel like perhaps they resonate with what I say, the people who got my free career success kit on my website and they feel like that served them. Mm-hmm. Those are the people who are going to show up for me, and the people who show up for my clients who are also coaches are the ones who resonate with what they have to say. I think it's a really beautiful way to really see things. And I think it's really honestly true. I'm not even brainwashing myself with it.
Mm-hmm. It is true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So your strength as an employee at the time that you were working as an employee was to negotiate great conditions so you could earn the salary that you deserved at the time. So would you say that this type of capacity or talent that you had negotiating really helped you when you became an entrepreneur and had to negotiate for yourself as a business owner?
Absolutely. And I also say it just helps me from a standpoint of really understanding my clients who are job hunters, who are going for their next big job opportunity, is helping them negotiate from a place that I've been there before. I've done it before. I've negotiated my salary now six times, six different jobs in my life, and each time it was an increase. And I think that having that mentality that negotiation can really be there to serve both parties. It doesn't have to be that somebody wins. And what's so powerful about effective negotiation is really going in with a sense of how can we both win? I think that's such an exciting and positive way to live your life. And I think people feel that when that's the energy you're approaching it with. So most of my clients, be it job hunters, be it entrepreneurs, I really teach them to negotiate from a place of real abundance and really supporting everyone from feeling like the result is positive on all angles.
So now I'm curious to you, Ashley, what do you find has been your best marketing strategy to make your business grow?
I would say creating a column online has been a really exciting thing to do. And it continues to inspire me to see how many people read it and how many people respond to it. And for anyone who's looking to get more clients, it will definitely create a bump in your inquiries when it comes to writing effective content and serving your audience with it. A lot of entrepreneurs, I think, have a fear of running out of information or sharing too much. And I don't even believe in that. I think the more you share, you know, if you work in personal development, especially, it's like, okay, I work in personal development. I'm always developing. And as a result, I always have new things to share. So sure. I really have let go of that concern. And I just come from a heart-centered place when I write content that I'm trying to serve as many people as much as I can. And it always translates into more clients and more prosperity, not just for me, but for the person showing up who gets the results.
So Ashley, and now I'm curious to know, what's your personal definition for the word success?
I think success, I love this question because it's such a coaching question, is to really make it clear what somebody's going for so they don't have a moving bar in their life saying that they want one thing and chasing a carrot that doesn't exist. To me, success means having time and being of service. So if I can help a lot of people and have a lot of time for myself, I'm successful. To me, success is freedom, and time is freedom, having time. So I would say I'm definitely living that definition myself, and I continue to coach coaches on how to do that and to coach job seekers on how to honor themselves. Because at the end of the day, I mean, who cares about your job offer or what you're doing with your life if you don't have a life?
True. Yeah. Really. So do you truly feel that coaching was your calling?
Yeah, absolutely. I love what I do, and I feel like a wet towel. Every day I feel like I wring myself out. It's like every part of me is a piece of this business. You know, I always thought that I liked to write, but I didn't want to have a business where all I did was write. So I write an article a week. I love inspiring people, so every now and again I'll go speak. I have a knack for helping people figure out what they want to do, and so I have, you know, 5 to 10 clients a week. I work with a very small amount of clients at a time to support them in getting clarity on what they want to do. So it's, I'm using every single part of myself to be of service, and I think, you know, one area that a lot of entrepreneurs have fear around is putting themselves out there so that they can have really powerful branding. And that's something I love to do. I love putting myself out there. I think it's so fun. I see it as more of an experiment than anything. So, you know, teaching entrepreneurs how to brand themselves online and how to stand out in the market, I just think, you know, that part of me that loves to go and get and pursue shows up with my entrepreneur clients. So I'm absolutely living my purpose, and I'm using every single little tiny part of myself that I didn't think was possible.
Well, I'm sure that everybody listening felt it. Because yes, we could feel the passion when you talk about it, and we could feel that it, yes, coaching has been a calling for you, and you're at your right place in life.
Thank you. You know what? I feel it with you too. It seems like you have a joy for your podcast and serving your listeners. So it's just good vibes going on over here.
Great. So now if people want to know more about you, Ashley, where should they go online?
Yeah, go to www.ashleystahl.com. It's ashleystahl.com. And over on my website, you can get a free success kit. So if you're a job seeker, there's an audio in that success kit helping you job hunt. If you are an entrepreneur, there's an audio in there about your mindset and how to be more successful in the way you see the world and the way you own who you are. So definitely check that out.
Yes, I'm sure a lot of people will. So thank you so much for your presence on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a gift to be here with you. I appreciate it, really.
If you want to continue this conversation, please join me on my Facebook group called Serious Entrepreneurs Only. That's facebook.com/groups/Serious Entrepreneurs Only. And you can connect with a lot of other entrepreneurs and ask your questions, share your knowledge, share what you're going through, your challenges, ask questions again, and get answers from the community. And you all know, as I do too, that we are so much stronger when we are together. So I hope to connect with you on the group, Serious Entrepreneurs Only, and have a great week. I'll talk to you next week again for another show of Marketing to Crush Your Competitors podcast. Take care.